Please be seated. Good evening. We continue our studies in the first epistle of Peter. Now I was asked to read from 1 Peter 1, verse 10 to 12, which is only three verses. But for the context that we've got, and a reminder, because we weren't here last week, we were in Cornerstone. As a reminder, I have the privilege, sorry, Catherine, of starting from verse 8 to give you a bit of an idea of what we are talking about. So let's hear the word of God together. 1 Peter chapter 1, and commencing at verse 8, and verse 10 will appear, I think, yes it will, on the screen. Let's hear God's word together. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things.
Thanks, Ray, for reading for us. If you've got a Bible, do keep that open in front of you. I'm going to pray and ask for God to help us as we come to his word to hear what he has to say. So let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the good news of Jesus that we've been singing about, that we've heard about from Rosie and Christina, we've seen in their baptisms. And Father, as we come to your written words, we pray that by your Spirit you would show us the Lord Jesus. We've sung that we want to see our eyes turn to him, and so we ask that you would open our eyes now to see more of who Jesus is, and that we might turn to trust in him. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, people sometimes imagine that God is playing hide and seek with humanity, like he doesn't want to be found, which I think rather misunderstands the game, right? Because the whole joy of playing hide and seek is in being found. Like if you imagine when my kids were younger, if we played the game, and while they're there, you know, counting to 100, I just slipped out the door, driven off down to Tesco, so they had no way at all of finding me. I mean, that would be no fun for anyone. I get to tell you that God is not making it difficult for us to know him. God is not making it difficult for us to know him. Firstly, because there is a God in heaven who wants the world to hear his good news. Let me show you that from the Bible. Peter writes about how God is at work, not to hide from us, but to be found by us. That he comes looking for us. And this has to do with the work of the Holy Spirit, who's also here called the Spirit of Christ. Look with me, if you've got the Bible in front of you, at verse 10. Firstly, he says that the Spirit led the prophets to point to the suffering of the Messiah and the glory that was to follow. God sent the Spirit of Christ to lead people like Isaiah in the Old Testament to speak centuries in advance about Jesus. And the prophet's thing wasn't really about predicting the future. It was about pointing to the Messiah. Messiah is the Bible's word for the one who would save us from our sin. And so the news is this, that the Holy Spirit worked through the prophets to point to the coming of Messiah Jesus to rescue us. If God didn't want to be known, he could have just told Isaiah to say nothing. Instead, Isaiah opened his mouth and he pointed to the coming of Jesus. And if you track down to verse 12, you can see how the same Spirit here called the Holy Spirit leads people to tell that news to other people. Peter's readers in the first century were people to whom other people had preached the gospel. And Peter says this was done by the power of the Holy Spirit who was sent from heaven. See, human beings don't naturally tell other people the good news of Jesus. But the Holy Spirit gives us power to do that. What about in your life? I wonder who has told you about Jesus? Who has God moved by the Holy Spirit to brave a conversation with you? To ask a question? To say something about Jesus? That's God making himself known to you. How's he doing that? He sent his Spirit so that the prophets would point to Jesus. He sends his Spirit from heaven so that the people would tell other people about Jesus. Because God is longing to be found. He wants to be known. And not just to the world in general terms, but real people in real places. I wonder if you, as someone who knows Jesus, who in your life might the Holy Spirit prompt you to speak to about Jesus, like even this week? And how does it help you to know that Christina said yes to Jesus? Rosie has said yes to Jesus. So who could God use you to help somebody else get to know Jesus? And you know, the Holy Spirit is very good at making the good news of Jesus known. His whole thing is to draw people's attention to Jesus. He's like a floodlight who helps people see who Jesus is. If you've got any interest at all in Jesus, it's because the Holy Spirit is opening your eyes to see. And 2,000 years on, I wonder if you notice, Jesus is very famous. Even though human beings naturally turn away from God, upward of 2 billion people have received God's good news and believed it. And many of them have gone on to be baptized, as Christina and Rosie have done this evening. The Holy Spirit's very good at what he does. And Peter also tells us this is really good news, like strikingly so. See what he says about the prophets in verse 10? That those who were led by the Spirit to point to the coming of the Messiah, they searched intently and with the greatest care to understand what was going to happen. It gripped them. They were enthralled by it. And then somehow in the last sentence of our reading, Peter has been told that even angels up in heaven are captivated. Like when angels look down into this world, it's not the immensity of a mountain range or the unique detail of a snowflake that leaves them most awestruck. It's the report of Messiah coming into the world. Those real events in human history are what most captivate them. Jesus captivates them. And the good news of Jesus doesn't save angels, and yet still they're captivated. So how much more should we, human beings, be captivated by news of a Messiah who can save us? God's desire to be known by us leads us to want to know him, as his Spirit is at work in us. The Holy Spirit led the prophets and empowered preachers to tell this good news, because our God wants to be known. That's what's happened in Christina and Rosie's lives as people have told them about Jesus. The Spirit was at work. But what exactly does he want us to know? What is his good news? Well, have a look with me at verse 11 and we'll see. As Peter tells us just here. But secondly, God's good news is the suffering of Messiah Jesus and the glory of his resurrection from the dead. And you notice there's two aspects to that. The message that the Holy Spirit pointed to through the prophets, and the message that the Holy Spirit enabled preachers to preach in the first century and since then too, is firstly about the sufferings of the Messiah. The four biographies of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are accounts of Jesus' life and ministry. But they are heavily skewed towards the events of the first Easter weekend, during which Jesus was crucified on the Friday that we now call Good Friday and raised from the dead on the Sunday that we now call Easter Sunday. What's Jesus' story? That the Son of God was born as a member of the human race, that he grew up and lived a perfect, spotless life, that he did miracles that make us marvel. He taught words that still ring true today. But above all, he came to die, to be a substitute who would die in our place for sinful people. People who had gone our own way, who had done our own thing, who presume that we know better than God how to live in his world. And God set things up so that a perfect substitute could and would come to take the place of guilty people. And so willingly, Jesus came into this world to die for us. And he was crucified at the command of the Roman official Pontius Pilate. They hung Jesus on a wooden cross outside the city of Jerusalem during the spring festival of Passover. And he died under the judgment of God on the first Good Friday. Not because he deserved that, but because we did. We do. And the prophets, whose words take up the middle 300 words pages of the Bible, spoke about that centuries earlier. So Isaiah said that the Messiah would be pierced for our transgressions, that he would die for what we had done. It's about the suffering of the Messiah. That's the first half of the story. But the second part is that after his suffering, there was glory to follow. That on the third day after he was crucified, Jesus was raised from the dead. That he'd been professionally executed, and then he was supernaturally resurrected, alive, never to die again. A human being, the way human beings are meant to be. And so Jesus is the first glimpse, the first taste of God remaking everything in his world. And Jesus was seen by many people. And then he returned to his Father in heaven. But one day he'll return here to make all things new, to fill this whole world with his glory. And we see the beginnings of that now as people turn to Jesus and start to live more like him. But it's just a glimpse. There's so much more to come. This is the message about Jesus that God the Father sent his Spirit to speak about through people, so that other people could come to know him. Do you see how Peter describes this in verse 10? He calls it this salvation. It's news of a savior. And not of us trying to sort things out for ourselves, but of how God came to rescue us. We do nothing. He does everything. And breathe a deep sigh of relief at that. This salvation. And Peter goes on to talk about it like this. He says, the prophet spoke of the grace that was to come to you, of the grace that has now come to you, that has come to us. Grace is a beautiful word. It's a technical term in Christianity. It means gift. Can you imagine living every day as the grateful recipient of an immense payout that you didn't earn or deserve? It's just a gift. It's grace. That's what it's like to be a Christian. Let me recap that. God saves us. God gives salvation to us. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We don't pay for it. We don't pay it back. He simply gives. And so it's not surprising that the common term used across the New Testament documents to speak about all of this, to speak of the sufferings of the Messiah and the glory that was to follow, is this little phrase that we find in verse 12. The gospel. The gospel. Gospel simply means good news. And it really is, do you see? It's good news for anyone from anywhere. And don't go thinking that God does not want you to get in on this, just like Christina has got in on this, just like Rosie has got in on this. So if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, this is offered to you right now as a gift to receive. And all you need to do is to say, I can't save myself. I don't deserve this. But yes, God, help me. Rescue me. And Christina and Rosie have, which is why they came to be baptized this evening, because they have received this good news. They've joined with many of those who regularly would meet here, who also know Jesus as their Savior. And that's not always easy. We follow a Jesus who suffered before he was raised in glory, and who said that anyone who follows him will also suffer. So let me say to both of you, don't give up on Jesus if life gets tough. Even if this week it feels hard to follow Jesus, Jesus has walked this path before you. He knows. And suffering isn't the end of the story with Jesus. First there's suffering, then there's glory. And on the way, we can support one another. God gives us an imperfect church family populated with other people who have admitted, I need Jesus. We've got people who are walking the same path. And so we can help each other with that. And we have the Holy Spirit who lives in us. He'll keep drawing our attention back to Jesus so that we can keep on searching intently and with the greatest care and longing to look into the gospel. If there's anything to pray, pray that you never lose the wonder of that. That you'll always want to press deeper into who God is and what he has done. Knowing that God is on your side in getting to know him. That he wants you to know him more. He wants you to hunger for his word on your own and with other people. Let me say, if you've never tried doing that, if you've never tried to get to know him, how could you start with that? You can pick up a Bible. This bookcase is full of them out in the foyer. Take the best quality, this one's a bit scrappy, but one that's in decent condition from the bookcase. Take it away, read it. Start with the biographies of Jesus that are kind of in the middle of the book. You can get to know him because he wants you to know him. And Christina and Rosie, you didn't become Christians tonight. Now, we baptize you because you already are. But now you've got the adventure ahead of you to get to know him more. And yet in that, we never move on from the basics, from the suffering of the Messiah and the glory that follows that. It's through that, in that, that we know God from beginning to end. In Monday's doubts, in Thursday's temptations, keep asking the Holy Spirit to light up the darkness, to show you more of Jesus as you face different situations in life. And maybe you're here with us this evening, and truth be told, it's not that the Christian faith is new to you. Now, you know the story, but you've not done what Christina and Rosie did this evening. You've not stared down the barrel of those questions that I asked them earlier on, about whether you trust Jesus, whether you follow him. Is it time for you to answer those questions? To say, I do. To say, by God's grace, I will follow him. What are you waiting for? God has given you all you need to know him. All you need to know him through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And his Holy Spirit is at work to give you every opportunity to hear and to respond to the good news that Jesus is the Savior. And so let's pray to this God who wants to be known. Our Father in heaven, thank you that you do want to be known. Thank you that you have taken action to make yourself known. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who has come and worked in this world and still does to make the good news of Jesus audible, to move people to speak to other people about Jesus, to open our eyes that we might see and believe. Father, please be at work in each of us here. Father, you know each of our situations. You know what we know, what we don't know. You know what we've done or not done. Thank you that none of us is beyond this grace. That none of us is beyond this good news of Jesus. Thank you that his suffering and his glory, his cross and his resurrection are enough for any of us. So draw us to yourself, we pray, with empty hands to receive your wonderful grace to us. Stir our hearts to search intently with the greatest care, to be longing to know you as you make yourself known to us in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.